Hello everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday, the 21st of June. Could it be that Jesus is walking beside you without you even realizing it? Last week, Jean-Philippe spoke about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This morning, I'd like to revisit this story and draw some lessons from it. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, recounts one of the many appearances of Jesus that took place after the resurrection. The passage tells the story of two of Jesus' disciples who were walking from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. And as they were on the way, they were reflecting on everything that had just happened. They were reflecting on Jesus' death. I find it interesting that Luke specifies that these two were on the road to Emmaus, the road leading away from Jerusalem. Given everything they had experienced, the trauma of the crucifixion, it makes sense that they simply needed to get away from Jerusalem. Too much had happened in Jerusalem. The crucifixion had cost Jesus' life, the one they had followed, the one in whom they had placed all their hopes. These two disciples had seen enough from Jesus to have become convinced that nothing bad would ever happen to him. He calmed storms. He healed the sick. He literally cast out demons. In their eyes, he was indestructible. Even if he were crucified, they might have imagined witnessing a last-minute miracle that would turn the tide. But in their minds, it had all ended in a cold, dark tomb. I don't know what they had given up to follow Jesus, what it had personally cost them to join the growing number of people who followed him. That was no longer possible. They were literally in shock, grieving, incredulous that their search for Jesus could have led them to this moment, could have led them to a dead end. Have you ever had an experience that took you so unexpectedly, in the worst possible way, that you found yourself saying, "How can my life be reduced to this? How can I have to face this right now? How can my story end like this? How could God let this happen?" This was the state of mind of these two disciples. Sometimes in those moments, running away, distancing yourself from the physical place where the pain manifested is the only thing on your mind. I don't know why the two characters in the story were going to Emmaus, but I think it's not too difficult to believe that they simply couldn't bear to be at the place of Jesus' death any longer. Running away was the only thing they knew how to do. It's often our natural instinct to want to flee from what has disappointed us, situations and people that have crushed us, circumstances that have disillusioned us. But we see in this story that Jesus wasn't simply going to let them go away. He was going to join them on their journey. Like these disciples, we have a God who accompanies us in our suffering, who seeks us out when we have questions, who follows us on the path as we try to overcome life's wounds. So Jesus very discreetly joined their walk and listened to their conversation. We don't know if God was somehow preventing them from realizing that it was the risen Jesus who had joined their journey, or if, in their state of discouragement, they were simply unable to grasp his identity. But they didn't know it was him. They had seen him crucified a few days before. We don't know exactly why they didn't recognize him, but I do know one thing. God often invites himself into our lives, and we don't see it. He sends people at the right time to encourage and care for us, but we don't give him credit for these events. There are signs of his goodness all along our path that we don't recognize as coming from him. When life shakes us to our very core, it can be difficult to see beyond what we feel or what we think we know. They had seen Jesus crucified. They had seen Jesus buried. They weren't alone in having seen this. They were processing all of this within their community. No one had an answer. The fact is, they weren't looking for Jesus in the midst of their circumstances because they had already relied on their own personal experience and feelings. Today we must ask God to give us eyes to see when he is at work in our lives, that opportunity to retake an exam, that unexpected financial blessing that arrived just in time, the text from a friend asking how we are, that song that comes to mind and meets our spiritual and emotional needs, the recognition we receive after perhaps feeling ignored, that offer of practical help, that piece of advice that sets us on the right path. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. May we have the eyes to see him at work in our lives. Give us the faith to believe that even when we don't see him, he is at work. On the road to Emmaus, we learn this lesson. God is never short of options. He knows no limits. Even when something is finished, it's not always finished. And if it is finished in an earthly sense, Jesus will be there to walk with us as we grieve our sorrow. I would like to focus on the account in verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sorrowful. One of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know what has happened there in these days?" Cleopas essentially said to him, "Have you been living with your eyes closed?" Jesus acted as if he didn't know what they were talking about. He continued, "What is it?" he asked them. They replied, "What happened to Jesus of Nazareth? He was a prophet who acted and spoke with power before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to the Romans to be condemned to death and crucified. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." There you have it. We had hoped. We had hope for something that doesn't seem to be coming true. We had expectations that haven't been met. We had dreams that have been shattered. Have you ever experienced this? You had a vision of how your life was going to unfold, and the current situation is nothing like that. Your hopes have been dashed. Jesus accompanies you on this journey. He walks beside you in these moments. Isn't it interesting to note that what they hoped for is precisely what Jesus accomplished? It simply wasn't what they had imagined. Jesus truly came to redeem Israel. Can we learn to let God be good? To let God be God, and allow him to carry out his plans in the way that will bring him the greatest glory. Jesus came not only to redeem Israel, but the entire world. Their hopes and dreams of seeing Israel freed from Rome were far too limited. God had much greater plans. God has much greater plans for each of us than we could ever have for ourselves. Don't judge his success by material and earthly evidence. Have faith. Something greater is always at work when God acts on your behalf. Cleopas continued in verse 21 saying, "It has now been 3 days since all this happened. It is true that some women from our group greatly astonished us. They went to the tomb very early this morning, but they did not find his body and came back and told us that they saw angels who assured them that he is alive. Then some of those who were with us also went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had described it, but they did not see him." They had heard the women's testimony that they had seen the angel and the news of the resurrection. They knew that some disciples had gone to the tomb and found it empty. One might have thought that this would have been a great encouragement to them, but it was not enough. Indeed, since the disciples who had gone to the tomb had seen the empty tomb but had not seen Jesus, Cleopas and his companion did not believe the story could be true. Do you remember John chapter 20 verse 8? When John saw the linen cloths inside the empty tomb, he saw the proof and believed. John's testimony was the same as the women's. Jesus was alive. But Cleopas and the other disciple did not believe. Perhaps he was like Thomas, who said he had to see the risen Lord with his own eyes to believe. Just as Jesus appeared to Thomas because he knew what Thomas needed to believe for himself, He appeared to these two on the road to Emmaus, who struggled to believe in anything other than their feelings. Oh, how grateful I am that Jesus joins us in our doubts and fears. He comes to where we are to reveal himself to each of us. Listen, he is here today. He is speaking. He is reminding you of your worth and how important you are in his eyes. He is reminding you of his presence in your life. He has not abandoned you. He has not let you down. He has not turned away from you. He is the one seeking you. Today, the message for some is stop doubting and believe. In verse 25, it was Jesus' turn to speak on the road to Emmaus. Verse 25, oh, you foolish people, you are slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verses 26 and 27, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with the books of Moses and going through all the books of the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Let me give you a few key points. How will you know when the Lord is walking with you? He will remind you of the scriptures. He will give you understanding of what he has already said. He will guide your mind to the truth. The word of God is our authority. Jesus led them to the word. The word of God is alive and active. It remains relevant today. As Jesus walks with us, he will lead us to his word. Immerse yourself in the word of God as often as possible so that you regularly hear his instructions. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to guide our minds and hearts to God's truth in every situation. This happens when we read the word. Firstly, when Jesus walks with you, he will explain and confirm his word to you. Verses 28 and 29. Meanwhile, they came near to the village to which they were going. Jesus seemed to want to go on, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for you see the day is almost over. It is nearly evening. So he went into the house to stay with them. When you have embraced the teaching of the word, you will want to hear more and more of what Jesus has to say. Sometimes even during our worship services, we feel Jesus' presence amongst us and don't want to go home. We don't want it to end. There is a comfort and peace that fills you when Jesus walks with you, and you won't want to be separated from him. When Jesus walks with you and you welcome him, you won't want that moment spent with him to end. Verses 30 and 31. He sat down at the table with them, took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he had already vanished. At that moment, as Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks, they realized who this stranger truly was. He was the one whose loss they had mourned, the one in whom they had placed their hopes, the one whom at that moment they understood they could follow forever. Does anyone need to come back to reality this morning? Does anyone need to see Jesus among you? Does anyone need to recognize that he has walked beside you from the beginning? Does anyone need to see what is really happening in their situation? When the disciples recognized that it was Jesus among them, every erroneous thought they had been dwelling on, every deceptive feeling they were clinging to, was radically transformed. Seeing Jesus changed everything in their doubt, their disappointment, and their defeatist outlook. When Jesus walks with you, he opens your eyes so that you receive a full revelation of himself. An important detail in this story that I don't want us to miss is that the revelation came, the help came, and a change occurred in their lives because they invited Jesus to spend time with them. Verse 29 tells us that they asked Jesus to stay with them. I believe that every Sunday Jesus is with us in this church. I believe that every time we gather together, he speaks to us individually. I believe he speaks to each of us as individuals. I believe he seeks to walk with us. But the essential point is this: a deeper revelation will come, one that frees us from our pain and sorrow, only when we invite him to stay with us. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus wants to walk with you, but you must desire his company to experience his presence. The text tells us that Jesus disappeared from their sight, and after that, they had to face something new. Verses 32 and 33. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and returned to Jerusalem. An immediate change took place in their lives. Thanks to the time spent with Jesus, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They had tried to distance themselves from the memories of their life and the time they had spent with Jesus. They had tried to run away from their pain, but their encounter with Jesus reminded them of why they had been called to follow him. They rejoined the others. They reaffirmed their place within the community of Christ. There they found the 11 and those with them gathered together and saying, "It is true." Verses 34 and 35. All welcomed them with these words, "The Lord has truly risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples in turn recounted what had happened to them on the road and how they had recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. These two downcast disciples found themselves reconnecting with those from whom they had drifted away. The time spent with Jesus brought them back to his people. The time spent with Jesus brought them back into the fold of Christ's disciples who had also experienced the risen Lord. The time spent with Jesus led them to bear witness to the resurrection themselves and united them with those who would later preach the good news. When Jesus walks with you, you rediscover your purpose and identity. Are you trying to run away from a painful event, a heartbreaking experience? Have you struggled to see Jesus at the centre of your story? Have you been searching for him? Have you believed by faith that God has a plan bigger than what you can see? That he is at work even when it is difficult to find evidence of his action? Do you see the confidence others have in Christ but struggle to believe him for yourself? What place does his word hold in your life? How many times last week did you stop to read a psalm or a passage from the gospel? Did you welcome it and invite it to stay with you? Those disciples on the road to Emmaus were grieved because something had ended. Life with Jesus, as they knew it, had ended. He was about to ascend to the Father, and he would send the Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of his disciples, to equip them and give them the strength from within to live his life here on earth. It was greater and better than anything they could have imagined. Perhaps one thing to remember this morning is this: there had to be an end before there could be a new beginning. Jesus' earthly ministry and life had to end before sin could be atoned for, before death could be conquered, before Satan could be defeated, and before the Holy Spirit could be poured out and the church could be born. Jesus, the risen Lord, was inviting these two disciples to a new beginning with him. What new beginning might be waiting for you beyond some suffering? How is Jesus seeking to enter your life right now? How must your purpose and identity be rediscovered or redefined? In what ways must your eyes be opened to fully see Jesus? Jesus wants to walk with you today. Will you share your journey with him?